Right. Hello, everyone. So, thank you all for joining us. This is Dr. Will Tuttle, and this is the World Peace Diet Circle Call for April 2021. The date is April 15th, and of course, tax day is not today, apparently. I guess it's next month. But I really want to thank you all for joining us. There's still people joining us here, so I'm going to be letting them in. I wanted to say that we've been having a guest on quite a bit over the last few months. We've had special guests that I've interviewed and talked to in the beginning. And I was thinking of doing that again this time because so many people that are really great and fascinating to talk to about the different issues that are facing us right now. And so I was thinking of getting somebody that I've been wanting to interview for quite a while as part of our World Peace Diet Circle for today. But I decided this morning not to do that, because I feel like it's good to have sometimes when it's just us and nobody else, and we can focus on more specifically, I guess, on your questions and concerns directly. So that's what we're doing tonight. We typically like to have somewhere between an hour and an hour and a half, and so it'll just be us, the family here. And like I say, press star 6 if you have any comments or questions or concerns. So normally what I like to do in the beginning is have a meditation time, and then we go into talking about what we would, whatever's on the agenda. I mean, things are really heating up here, it seems like, on planet Earth right now. And we're... as I've been saying for quite a while, it seems like, you know, I've been saying we're entering the rapids after going along. We could feel it coming, I guess, and now it's pulled us right in, and here we go. So there's a lot to talk about and to share, and I think, the vegan message and the World Peace Diet vegan message is probably more important now than ever, in the sense of getting back to a foundation for a world where peace and freedom, sustainability, justice, equality, liberation of animals and human beings are actually possible, or is actually possible, but it seems like in some ways we're straying farther and farther from that. But that may be just how it looks right now. All right, so let's go ahead, though, and do the meditation time together. I'm sitting here. I've got it all set up again at the piano, so I'm hoping that the sound levels are okay, and then we'll go ahead and begin the regular time. So feel free to get comfortable for a few minutes wherever you happen to be, and I'm going to go ahead and start playing and invite us to connect with our breathing and begin our meditation time together. Thanks. Let's begin our time of meditation by cultivating our heart of gratitude, giving thanks for every breath, mindful that to be alive on this earth right now is a great blessing, that we are part of a force for healing, for awakening, for compassion, for peace and harmony. So we give thanks for every inhalation. Every inhalation. As we inhale, we're breathing in not just physical air. We're breathing in energy. We're breathing in the love that is the source of all life. Inhaling and feeling this light streaming into every cell of our being. Filling every cell of our being with our purpose. Our own unique purpose. Every beat of our heart is a gift. As we journey together, each one of us on our unique journey of discovery, awakening to be a light of healing in this world. Unique gift that we bring to the world. So we relax with every exhalation into the inner peace of knowing that we are on our path, our unique journey. That we are true to our purpose and our mission, that our life has meaning and significance, that what we are and who we are is making a positive difference in the lives of many, many others. So we give thanks for this precious human life, for every inhalation, breathing in the consciousness of the great wisdom teachers who have themselves breathed the same air. Fills our lungs and streams forth into the trillions of cells, all working together in harmony, serving their purpose to serve our mission. Give thanks for every exhalation. Every exhalation. Letting go. Cleansing. Purifying. Releasing what no longer serves. Releasing toxins. To prepare for the next inhalation of light and peace and love. A abiding in our true home, abiding in loving kindness, in caring, abiding in compassion, breathing and radiating compassion, knowing that with every exhalation we are contributing to the field of compassion on this earth. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. Abiding in the silence of knowing, our unity with the source of all life that brings us awareness, that brings us joy, that brings us harmony, that brings us peace, that brings us a sense of solidarity with every human being and with every animal on this earth, every living being, with all the ecosystems, with the great beauty of the forests and rivers and oceans. And we think now and celebrate the beauty of the natural world, of the birds and fishes and all the animals that share this beautiful earth with us. And we join together now in our heartfelt wish that they be forever free from human exploitation. We give thanks, knowing that that day is coming and is already here in the timeless time, where truth dwells always in this eternal moment. And so we allow ourselves now to enter more deeply into the silence. Intuition, our inner wisdom, speaks to us. So we just allow the music now to open an inner doorway to connect us more deeply with our unique purpose and reason for being here, our unique wisdom, our abilities, the being that we are. delighting in the sanctuary of our heart, the sanctuary of the truth that we are, that what we are was never born and will never die, that what we are is eternal consciousness. What we are is of the essence of creative love, freedom, joy, and wisdom. That we are here to serve a purpose, healing that is so needed at this time on this earth. We give thanks to all of our brothers and sisters working hard to help build a world that cares for everyone. We give thanks for all of the animals, our teachers, in living in the moment, our teachers, so we give thanks knowing that we are part of this movement. Awaken from the delusions of violence, to the truth of ahimsa, our true nature. We give thanks knowing this is so. So it is. Okay, thank you everyone for participating in our meditation time. It's wonderful again to see some of your faces we haven't seen for a while, and some new ones, some familiar ones, and a lot of you are joining us by phone, I guess, or however. It's all good. So again, as I was saying before, some people came in a little bit late, so I'll just repeat it briefly. We're not having any special guests today, which has been a little bit unusual since we've been doing that the last several months, and it's just us together. I'm happy to respond to any questions that you may have about the situation that we're facing as individuals and together right now, which is changing all the time, and to give my perspective on things too. So, you know, maybe I'll just say just a few things here at the beginning. And like I say, feel free to raise your hand by pressing *6 or unmuting yourself. And also, if you have something in the chat to share, I won't be seeing that maybe while I'm talking too much, but it's always there as a resource. So, you know, the thing is, I guess, what we're seeing happening right now is something that I've been warning about for quite a while. And it was interesting because one of our World Peace Eye facilitators brought to my attention the fact that a lot of the essays that I had written a long time ago, before 2014, that were published on the VegSource website, they've changed their website and they all disappeared. So I went back and I got them and I posted them, put them all up again on our website. And I happened to just glance at a few of them. And one of them from 2011, I think, and even earlier, it sounds like they were could have been written today, in the sense that I was really warning everyone that we are getting really gullible and we're allowing ourselves to be oppressed and manipulated and used. This was back when under Obama, you know, obviously. And that animal agriculture is really the culprit. I mean, that's the main dynamic. That's the psychological and social dynamic, I think, that's behind a lot of this, is the mentality of dominating and oppressing animals and then not wanting to take responsibility for that. So we pretend that everything is fine. We're good people. We just like to have a steak and a milkshake, but we're good, loving, kind, caring, beautiful people, but we just, you know, animals are just put here by God for us to use, and certain animals, cows, pigs, chickens, and so forth. So we have this whole narrative that we're born into, and we adopt it because as little infants, we really don't have a choice in many ways. We're dominated by our parents, the way, I mean, in the sense that we, maybe shouldn't say dominated, but we're influenced by our parents profoundly, and as I have discussed many times, food is the primary way that any society transmits its values from generation to generation. So the food rituals in our society, unfortunately, are massively destructive, not only to animals and ecosystems, but really to us. And not just to our physical health, causing diabetes and obesity and heart disease and kidney disease and liver disease and on and on and on, all kinds of cancer and so forth, but much more dangerous they are to our mental, psychological, and spiritual and ethical health. That's where they really do the huge damage. And they damage us in ways, in a number of ways, but I think one of the main ways we're seeing being played out right now is that since we're dominating animals and we're causing violence every time we take out our wallet and pay, which is voting, we vote for it, we cause it. I mean, we cause animals to be horribly abused and sexually abused, violated and hyper-confined in ways we can't even imagine what a world we create for them. And then we cause it and then we eat it and we give it to our children, and, you know, not us, we're vegans, but that's what we do in our society on a massive scale. Probably at least 98% of the people are participating in that and causing this massive violence. And so the psychological forces, I mean, the physical forces required to do this are massive, you know, massive amounts of petroleum and organization and everything else. But the psychological forces to keep doing that and to keep it all suppressed, right? We don't think about it. We pretend that it's not happening and so forth. These are huge forces and create what Carl Jung talked about a lot, the shadow. So we have this cultural shadow, which is what we are, but we say, no, we're not that. It's those other people that are like that. And so what we see happening around us now, I believe, and I've been saying this for a long time, so this is nothing new for me to be saying, but it's hard to say it now because there's so much pressure on us to conform. And of course, as vegans, our whole way of life is about not conforming, right? We're non-conformists. Although I have to say, you know, we still conform a lot. I mean, a lot of vegans are conforming all over the place, you know. So the question is, how much do we conform and where is it appropriate to conform and where is it appropriate not to conform, not to agree, not to go along, not to acquiesce to the narrative? And that's the big question. So I think when we see the violence towards animals and we understand and maybe we go, like Madeline and I have gone to slaughterhouses and factory farms, and we can see it with our own eyes, then it becomes much more obvious. A lot of people, we can see videos of that, and we can make the connection, and so we're clear we're not going to get involved in that kind of violence. But now what we're seeing is that this psychological shadow of most people not being willing to see that in our society, it creates, what does it do? I mean, I guess that's the question. What does it do to us as a society? And I think the main thing it does is it sets us up for the boomerang effect, which is essentially what we put out comes back. What we sow, we reap. And So I think this is the big problem, that we have been and continue to sow seeds of violence and abuse and disconnectedness on a massive scale. And we cover up our what in Zen is called our original face. Our original face, you know, one of the main Zen koans is show me your original face before you were born. And if they really want to get stronger about it, they say, show me your original face before your parents were born. You know, so a koan is a question that we can't answer with the logical mind, but it's, if we allow it to enter our being at a deep level, it can transform us, because it can make us reconceptualize who we are, what we are. And so most of us think that we're born, we are this body, and we're going through our life, we have all these memories and experiences, we're trying to get what we want, keep away what we don't want, manipulate situations in our favor, hopefully we'll get enough money to survive and pass on our genes and have a life, and that's it. You know, I mean, that's kind of the official narrative. It's very reductionistic, and it's forcing that on us. But the Zen tradition, like all authentic spiritual traditions, is asking us to not accept that, right? That's not your original face. That's a false, that's a mask. That is the mask, right? That's the false mask. That's not our original face. What is the original face? And so the whole idea is to question the narrative that is imposed on us by our society, and it's living inside our own minds, that we're repeating to ourselves, that I am this name and form, you know, the nama rupa in Sanskrit, name and form. We attach to name and form, and we don't realize that we are what makes name and form possible. We're the infinite, you can't unnameable whatever, that makes this possible. And so to actually get a glimpse of that and understand that is what liberates us from being a force of ignorance and violence and trying to steal and lie and manipulate and abuse others. And of course, since animals have the least protection, they're the ones that get most abused when people are raised in a situation like we are, where we're ignorant of our true nature. Our original face has been covered up. And so now we're at the point now where it's so obvious, you know, and I'm just going to say it, you know, it's like Madeline and I don't go out very much anymore. We only go out about once a week. We pretty much stay home and go out once a week and go to the post office and go to the store and we come back. But we were traveling for the last 4 months, so we were out a little bit more when we were doing that. But even then, we were mainly at Hippocrates. But the thing I keep seeing that everybody, all of us are seeing, is everybody's wearing a mask, right? I mean, we've got this unprecedented, it's never happened in the history of the world. This has not ever happened in the history of the world. And that healthy people are going, you know, putting on a mask to go interact with each other. I mean, so how did we get to this point? How did we fall so far to get to the point where we are afraid of each other, afraid of these germs, afraid of these forces? And I think it's inevitable. It's really has a sense of inevitability about it, that it was unavoidable that this would happen. It was somewhat unpredictable, I guess, that it would be this much sort of in our face, literally. But it was kind of, it's pretty inevitable, because what we've been doing has been leading us right to this, right there. I mean, exactly there. You can see it so clearly. You know, we have become ourselves as individuals and collectively this invisible, violent force that is horribly terrifying and killing billions of animals, right? We are that force. You know, we go to the store, we take out our wallet, we pay for meat, dairy products, and eggs, and somewhere some animal is terrified and destroyed and killed by us. You know, they don't see us. We're invisible to them, but we're doing it. And so, of course, we turn around and we feel, gosh, all around us, wherever we can't see them, but there are these evil bacteria and viruses that are out to get us. And so we've been primed for decades and decades and decades by powerful forces. And, you know, you've heard me say this, but I want to say these two things. Number one, the pharmaceutical industry, I've learned this, is the worst enemy that we have. as vegans. I mean, they're the ones that have the most to lose if the world goes vegan, and they're the ones that are most fighting against veganism, more than even the meat and dairy and egg industries. Big Pharma hates vegan. The whole, what all vegan stands for, you know, of caring for life and not experimenting on animals, and not, their markets, all of their billions of dollars depend, number one, on animal agriculture. As you know, billions of dollars are spent every year for over 10,000 different drugs and hormones that are used on cows and pigs and chickens and these factory farms and all over the place. They make, pharma makes huge profits on them, then people get sick, they get huge profits on them, then people have mental diseases of all kinds due to the what we're doing to animals, and again, they make money on all of this. So if people go vegan, they're out of luck, right? So I was just thinking about it. It's 2021. It was 1971. 50 years ago was the last time I actually went into a doctor's office. And I haven't been to a doctor since then, except about 3 years ago, I guess it was. I had a detached retina, and I had to go into a doctor's office because I couldn't. My eye was kind of weird looking, and so I had that fixed. But otherwise, I've stayed out of it. I haven't gone to a drugstore or anything. And I'm not the only one. I mean, I think in general, when we get healthy and take responsibility for our health, especially if we do it from a young age, then we learn not to rely on Big Pharma. We don't think, oh gosh, I have a cold or I have an ache, I'm going to go to the doctor and get a drug. Because that's what I want to emphasize. The other thing is that, and I don't hear that much, even within the vegan movement, I don't hear it very much, which is the basic thing that disease and sickness are good, right? They're good. They're good. You should like be happy if you get sick, right? It's good, you know, in the sense that it shows your body is doing what it's supposed to do, which is to heal itself. That's the reason why it happens. So there's nothing to be like, oh no, I have an ache and a pain and it's terrible. I mean, of course, on that level it is. I understand what it is to suffer from aches and pains, various kinds, and sickness, but I always, in the back of my mind, know that this is something for me to learn, right? I'm here to learn about. It's a message for me, and we can talk forever about that. But I've had so many great, I mean, not so many, but quite a few wonderful insights have come to me from the physical problems that I've had. Like, I had bad vision for years, and I had to figure out why. And my vision, I've been able to heal my vision over the years by working with it on a metaphysical level and somewhat on a physical level. I think, improving exercise and nutrition and relationships and all those things, they help our physical body on every level. But anything can heal. Virtually everything can heal. And when we heal our mind and heal our attitudes and when we heal our relationships with people and with the source of our life, when we get in touch with the beauty that we are, our body is an outpicturing of our mind. That's what it is. And so we live in a materialistic society that is so deluded. It's probably the most deluded society in the history of the world in many ways. I really feel that. It's the most materialistic. After 10,000 years of animal agriculture, we've gotten to the point we're walking around in masks. I mean, we're afraid of each other. We're social distancing. We're shutting down everything. We're locking down like we're a bunch of prisoners. Now we're all going to be getting, you know, we want to get vaccinated with an experimental vaccine that is never, we don't know what it's going to do to people. I mean, there's this guy, Mike Yeadon, his name is. He was the chief scientist for Pfizer. And he's been in the vaccine industry for 30 years. He was with them for 20 years. Pfizer, like all of these big companies, are criminal organizations. I mean, it's well known. They've been fined hundreds of millions of dollars for criminal activity, for covering up things and deliberately deceiving people and deliberately being willing to kill people. I mean, that's what these companies are. That's who they are. They're immune. The only immunity, right? There's no immunity for us. The immunity is what they have. They have immunity from all responsibility for what they're doing. I talk about this in the World Peace Diet. The reason we created corporations was because We didn't want to have responsibility, right? We kill animals. We don't have responsibility for it. So we create, eventually, over thousands of years, we create corporations. So we don't have responsibility for what we do. And then we create pharmaceutical corporations where they really don't have responsibility. I mean, it's like off the charts, right? So even if, you know, millions of people die directly because they're just unleashing a barrage of toxicity on humanity, they bear no response. They just make billions of dollars. I mean, it's guaranteed they're going to be making this money. I mean, how could we get to the point where we are actually like lining up to be injected with toxins that for a so-called disease with a 99.4% survival rate, or if you do any research at all, you can see that most of the people that die from COVID didn't even die from COVID. You don't even know if it even exists. It's never been isolated. The whole thing is such a swindle and such a hoax and such a farce and such a crime. And the fact that they can actually pull this off is due to the fact that the media is completely controlled, and people believe the media and they believe the narratives, and we've all been brainwashed. Like I was. I mean, I was brainwashed. My sister said there's a better word than brainwashed. We shouldn't use the word brainwashed anymore. She said brain poisoned. It's much more accurate. And I think she's right. You know, I was brain poisoned to trust pharma, right? To go to the doctor, to get a drug. So instead of seeing the natural healing, instead of honoring the incredible wisdom and intelligence in my body that can handle virtually anything that comes, because, my gosh, we're part of the wisdom of the universe. We are magnificent beings. We're not told that. We're told the opposite of that. From the time of little kids, we're vulnerable to these pathogens, and they're all around us, and we get vaccinated. I got vaccinated. Luckily, it was only about four or five of them, but, you know, that happened. And so what we see happening is that we're lining up for these because we've been brain poisoned to trust these outside authorities to inject us with toxins when our body is really trying to clean out and be healthy. And so, as I started saying, you know, Mike Eden, who spent 30 years in this and was working for Pfizer until he resigned, he's been really, I think, risking his life to warn people that this is a criminal action. I read a transcript or summary of his recent interview with America's frontline doctors. That's a group of MDs who have been completely censored. You know, we have literally thousands of health experts who would love to speak up and inform people what's going on, and they're not allowed to. The media is censoring them, government is censoring them, and even people themselves seem to censor them, right? If I try to talk about this to my friends and other people, very often they don't even want to hear it. It's the same thing with veganism, right? The media censors it, and the people themselves don't want to know about it. They'd rather just trust the authority. That's what veganism does, essentially, is we learn not to trust authorities. But still, you know, many vegans are still trusting authorities, which is not a good idea, my goodness. I mean, the whole idea is to connect with our own inner wisdom and learn to trust our own wisdom, our own understanding. But he was saying, you know, how our immune systems, for example, are equipped to, you know, this is even assuming that viruses exist as a malignant force, which I doubt. But anyway, he's trained in that idea. But he says that our immune system, it's well known. This is well understood by virologists, by epidemiologists and immunologists and all these people. They understand basically that our immune system is enormously capable of handling anything that comes in, basically. And so in terms of viruses and bacteria, and that if a virus, that the most a virus can change, like, because now they're talking about all these variants, right? We have all these variants that are dangerous. The most a variant, he was just saying, the most a variant can change is 0.3%, right? It's literally hundreds of thousands of pairs of, or tens of thousands of pairs of, genetic material in a virus. And the most it can change is 0.3%. And our body is equipped to handle any variant up to 50%. So he said any immunologist knows that, any epidemiologist knows that. How is it possible that governments are feeding us this line of hogwash that there's all these dangerous variants that we just can't handle? It's just a fear attack. It's all fear, fear, fear. And so we are being herded like livestock by lies and by that's what he says. You know, he says he's thought about this so much. He's thinking everybody knows this is a lie, but they're saying it and no one's questioning it. So something, he says, something very evil is going on here. They're planning a depopulation. I mean, it's obviously a depopulation tactic or an enslavement tactic. I mean, it is. I mean, it can't be anything else. If anyone else thinks it's something else, I mean, how is it possible that we cannot see this? You know, and that's what gets me. But I guess the thing is, what that brings us back to is, okay, so we see this unfolding. We see that many of our friends and neighbors and relatives don't understand this for whatever reason. They don't have access to the media for some reason. I mean, to some alternative information, which is possible because the suppression is incredible right now. I mean, the censorship is amazing. And so I think, you know, it's really essential that we find a way to counteract this whole thing within our consciousness and within our actions, you know, to do that. So that's what we've been doing. I mean, I'm sure all of you have been doing it. I know a lot of you have been doing it in prayer or meditation, living your lives. I think just being a vegan is the number one most important thing we can do, because the underlying, as I said at the very beginning, dynamic that's driving this whole thing is animal agriculture, the mentality of domination and exploitation and the boomerang effect. Whatever we sow, we reap. And so if we don't stop that, and that's the main thing that disturbs me right now in the alternative narrative, is that everybody's aware, in the alternative narrative, that we're being enslaved and killed by this whole attack on humanity, it's a medical tyranny. It's really, what's happening is that essentially we had at least some semblance of a democracy where we could vote and try to change leaders and so forth, but that's being completely replaced by an authoritarian medical technocracy. So now our elected representatives, they don't do what we elect them to do. They just say, well, we just do whatever the health department says. The health department, my gosh, I mean, the health department is a technocracy, right? It's run in a centralized way. It comes down. It's not democratic at all. It's completely authoritarian and totalitarian. And the people that are in it have been brain poisoned, essentially. I mean, it's so obvious to see. I can talk more about that. But so this is the situation. So the democracy has been lost. A technocracy is being brought in. We are becoming, you know, as the animal exploiters are now becoming the exploited. And decades I've been saying, if we're going to insist on microchipping animals, we're going to end up getting microchipped, right? We're going to insist on forced vaccinating billions of animals. We're going to end up getting forced vaccinated. If we're going to insist on hyper-confining animals, we're going to get hyper-confined ourselves. So vegans have been, trying, I think, to ring the bell of awakening on our planet, but people, it hasn't happened, unfortunately, fast enough. So now we see this rolling out. That's just how it looks to me. And so it seems like we're in now, and they always say this is true, that people never really change until it gets so bad that, like, okay, now I'm going to change. So maybe we have to get to that point. So what do we do? You know, what is ours to do as people who have been immersed, many of us, for years, maybe decades, in veganism, in spirituality, in conscious living? You know, how do we live? What do we do? And I think that's the thing. So I think the main principles are decentralization, compassion, connectedness, self-reliance, self-sufficiency, loving kindness, and remembering the truth that what we are is not this physical body. What we are is not a material thing. That what we are, in many ways, is the dreamer who's dreaming this dream. And we will wake up, you know, at some point, I talked in the meditation about how we give thanks for every inhalation we take. At some point, we're not going to make an inhalation. You know, at some point, it's not going to happen. We're going to make our last exhalation, and that'll be it. And then we will enter the next experience. And what will matter at that point is how we live this life. That's all that's going to matter, is how we lived our life on this planet during this time of crisis and chaos, which maybe we came here for this time. Maybe we came here to be a force for awakening and healing and kindness and compassion. And that's our purpose, and to do our best to fulfill our destiny here as humanity goes through perhaps a cleansing and perhaps a wonderful transformation. And something's going to big has changed. We're not going back to normal. That's for sure. So to me, it seems like this is a time of spiritual inquiry, really looking deeply into as much as we can into our true nature. And then from a practical point of view, doing our best to connect up with other people, which is why I love that we have this connection right now, who are on the same page, the same basic wavelength. Not only all around the world, we have people even from Europe here. I know Davi is here from England. And from all over the United States, and there'll be a lot of people listening later to this. So the idea is to link up together and encourage each other, learn from each other. I think the main reason we're on this earth really is to be each other's teachers and students. And then perhaps on a local level, to work on a local level, wherever we happen to be, to team up with people, to create communities of sanity that are actually localized. I know that's harder to do. We're doing everything by Zoom now. It's hard to even get together with people anymore. So, you know, the rollout of this whole thing has been, I have to say, it seems to be kind of masterfully done. It seems like they've been doing a lot of bungling and making lots of mistakes, but it still seems to be rolling out in a way that it's almost like relentless, and it's going very fast. I'm amazed how quickly it's going. It's really, I mean, today, April 15th, they're introducing in California vaccine passports. I mean, here they are. They're here today, right now. We have vaccine passports in California. And they don't call it that. But, you know, I was just 2 days ago, I went to, by Zoom, I went to the Lake County, where Madeline and I live in Lake County, California, Board of Supervisors meeting. And I sat there and listened to the meeting where the health department guy there, Dr. Bloom, his name is, he's the director, and he gave this long summary of how, you know, it's just so, when I was at Berkeley, I met a professor, and I took a few classes with him. His name was Bertram Gross. He wrote the book Friendly Fascism. And this guy was so friendly, and everybody was friendly. They were the friendliest people you could ever imagine. They were all congratulating and saying, "It's so great. We have more and more people are taking the vaccine. We have the case rate is the lowest it's ever been. We're just moving now from the red tier to the orange tier in Lake County. If we can just get more people to take the vaccine, we'll be able to stay in the orange tier. We'll be able to start opening things up." And they talked about what they could do. And he said, well, by April 15th, we'll have the new program in place where since we're in the orange tier, if you have a gathering of 300 people, you can actually have a gathering of 300 people as long as they're all vaccinated, right? So, okay, so what do you do? So you're going to have a gathering. You're going to have put on a large gathering, maybe a lecture. You're going to have somebody standing at the door. They have to collect everybody's proof of vaccination. That's in place right now. And restaurants can have a certain number of people. They can only be whatever it was. I can't remember. There's all these different, it's very complicated. But restaurants, if we're in the orange tier, you can have, you know, they can be one third capacity or they can be two thirds capacity if people have a vaccine passport, you know, or can show the proof of vaccination. So this is being rolled out, and this is extremely, I mean, how can we tolerate this? That's my question. I mean, I always ask, how can we tolerate living in a society where it's slaughtering billions of animals? I mean, how do we just tolerate, how do we tolerate that? I mean, that's so intolerable, but what are we going to do? That's happening. So now this is happening. I mean, we actually have states where we're creating a tracking system. We're creating a basic apartheid system where people who are not vaccinated, who don't want to be vaccinated, just can't go. We can't go there. You can't go to the gathering. You can't go to the lecture. You know. So it was very interesting. Last night, Madeline and I watched for maybe 20 minutes this woman who lived during Germany and during under Hitler in the Nazi era, and she was saying so clearly and so eloquently, this is exactly what happened in Germany. This is exactly what they did. The Jewish people in Nazi Germany, everybody said, they're the reason there's disease. They're the ones. It's their fault that there's all these illnesses. So now it'll be the unvaccinated, right? They're the ones that all of them, you know, they're the ones. They're the ones that are the bad ones. And she talked about how the entire thing in Nazi Germany was based on a medical, it was all based on a medical system. It was based on a medical tyranny. They had IBM had punch cards where they were actually able to find out all the different people. They got rid of the elderly first. They got rid of anyone who they just wanted to kill them off. And then they got rid of other ones that were not, it was a eugenics, it's a whole eugenics thing. And we see that Bill Gates, as you know, his father, he was the main eugenics guy in the whole United States, Bill Gates' father. I mean, this is all eugenics program to wipe out a lot of people. And so we should see this. I mean, this, and so I had to sit there through this whole presentation where they were so friendly and saying how great it is. And they talked about, having funds. We need more funds so that we can have ads in social media and let everybody know that now we're opening it up to the 16 to 49 year olds. They can go to the Redbud Park and get their vaccine. And the weirdest thing is Madeline and I just happened to go to this place, in Clear Lake, which is like the big town here where we live. And we got into the car and I saw, we just happened to be near this park. And I went over to the fence and I looked into this park, it's a pretty park, and I saw there was all these people in these big white tents, and then I realized this was it. This is where they're giving the vaccines. And the people were driving in, and every single person who drove in by themselves in a car had a mask on. I guess they told everybody, if you're going to come, you have to have your mask on when you drive in. They're all driving in with their masks on. They were all trusting that they're getting this great thing. So it's like, so then I listened to all this and how they were encouraging ads on the radio and ads in the newspaper and all this to get everybody to be vaccinated so we'd all be safe. And then to my happiness, they finally stopped and they opened it up for public comment. And so I unmuted, they unmuted me and I talked and I just, read them the Riot Act and said, how can you – you're supposed to be our elected officials with having the best intentions for us, and yet you're saying that this vaccine has been approved by the FDA. It has not been approved by the FDA. You're saying that this vaccine is safe and effective. How can you say it's safe and effective? This vaccine has never gone through any trials with animals or human beings. We are the trial. This has only been authorized under emergency use, and you're telling everyone they should get vaccinated. These supervisors were actually, crowing about how they'd been recently vaccinated. So I told them about Michael Yeadon and how he was warning that millions of people are going to die from these vaccines and so forth. And I spoke, and after 3 minutes, they said, you only have 3 minutes, and they tried to shut me up and told me I couldn't talk anymore. And but the weird thing is that, and another woman came on, a friend of ours, we told her to call in too. She called in and also said something similar. But they went on afterwards like we'd never said anything. They just were not talking about how we got to roll out these vaccines. So the situation is in place that we have massive media and governmental and industry, private businesses, all of them This is the system, and it's been developing for decades. And just as we feel, I think, in many ways as vegans, that we're, in a sense, up against the big system trying to get people to go vegan, we can say now to liberate humans, right? We were just trying to liberate animals before, and now we're trying to liberate animals and other people, and the people themselves don't want to be liberated very often in a weird way. And so this is the situation we're in. And I guess, you know, I'm just kind of giving my perspective. I feel like I'm, like all of you, I'm sure, you know, spend a lot of time trying to delve deeply to understand what's really happening here and make sure that I'm accurate, you know, to make sure that I'm not missing out on something, that what I'm seeing it really is this way, or am I wrong about it, you know? I'm constantly want to make sure about that, not only through researching as best I can what people are saying, what experts are saying, but also just tuning in intuitively to what's happening on the planet. And I think there's a lot of good, positive energy that is coming our way, that there is a lot of powerful, positive stuff happening. I'm part of a group called Dawn of Peace. Judy Carmen's in it too. A woman named Hannah Maria from Spain kind of started it up. But we just made a video together called, what's it called? Something like End Genocide Now. That basically, this is a genocide. And to just speak up about it and share that it's not a good idea to just go along with this, that we have the possibility now to raise our voices and to be to let people know that we think it's not a good idea, and to try to communicate with each other as best we can. And so there's many things. There's freedom cells. There's lots of things happening. The vegan movement itself, of course, is wonderful. And we recently participated in the Golden Rule Day, which is basically the same thing. It's the boomerang effect. It's whatever we sow, we reap. If we put out love and joy and freedom, then we will have freedom. If we don't put that out, it's not going to happen. And we're seeing that happening. So I think I'll stop here. I'm that's kind of the foundational background, I guess, and we've had for the last several months, we've had a lot of people coming on who gave us glimpses into aspects of this, and we've talked about veganism in various ways, but I think it's time now, with the rollout of vaccine passports that we're seeing, the rollout of a huge number of these vaccines, which are mRNA vaccines, most of them. I mean, they just terminated, as you know, the Johnson & Johnson one, and the AstraZeneca one. So those were not mRNA, they were not RNA. So these are vaccines that do go directly to the DNA of our cells and cause our cells to create new proteins that that's never happened before in the history of the world. Every time they've tried doing that, and they've tried doing this for 30 years on animals, whenever they do, the animals always die horrible, agonizing deaths. Always. 100% of the time, they always die agonizing deaths. That's why Michael Yeadon is saying, people are going to die agonizing deaths if they get this vaccine, because that's what always happens. So it always has happened anyway in the past. And so they're just unleashing this. I mean, it's incredible that they're doing it, and people are like cheering them on and saying, I want to have one of those. I mean, you can't make it up. I mean, it's like amazing. So this is being unleashed. And the thing is, the agonizing death is one thing, but then what happens after that? Right? I mean, you know, so then we've just gone along with a system of violence. We've been allowed our life to be hijacked. We have to think about that. We have to think not only about our life, but about the next life. You know, and the people like the board of supervisors who are encouraging and trying to, you know, I know on their hearts they probably think they're good people. But the same thing happened in Germany. The people thought they were good people, and they were just following orders. Now, they put those people to death in the Nuremberg trials. They just put them, they killed them. Because these doctors that just did what they were told and followed orders. And so these supervisors that are telling everybody they should have to wear a mask, and they have to lock down, and they have to get vaccinated, they should get vaccinated, and so forth. I mean, not good karma. So to just be aware of the what this world, what we're going through right now. I mean, this could be, you know, this is it. I mean, this is unprecedented in anybody's lifetime for thousands of years. This is the greatest attack on humanity in 10,000 years or longer. And I think in my estimation, I can't see anything that even comes close to this. So we'll just see how it unfolds. But I do think it can be, personally, I'm an eternal optimist. So my basic feeling is that whatever it is, it's for the best. I mean, ultimately, whatever's going on, it's for the highest unfoldment. And we will learn from this, and we'll come out better and stronger. And ultimately, wisdom, joy, and freedom and liberation will triumph and prevail, because that's the power. Love is the great power. So, but the question is, how do we respond? What do we do? Now, each one of us, how do we live our lives now in the situation, and seeing that, it's unfolding, you know, thinking about the future, you know, it's good to be in the present, but thinking about the future, because animals, you know, if I was born as a cow or a pig or a chicken, I do not have a positive future ahead of me on a factory farm or even on a backyard. I mean, I'm born to be killed. That's the purpose of it. And maybe they're nice for a while. You know, they feed me and so forth. You know, not very nice usually, but at some point it's going to happen. I'm going to be hung upside down by one leg and my throat's going to be cut and I'm going to be killed. That's the reason that they brought me into the world, was for that reason. So this is what we're doing. And to billions of animals, and it's heartless, and it's absolutely unnecessary, and it's incredibly stupid. And so we're reaping this, and we don't even understand. We don't even know why it's happening. Most people are oblivious and getting vaccinated, this is, in a sense, our day of slaughter. Like all these cows and pigs and chickens on the farm, they're going along thinking everything's fine, and then one day it's like, uh-oh. Well, this is the day for us. Uh-oh. It's like, here it is. This is here. This is it. You know, it's been going along, and now it's happening. And so,
you know, hey, Will. Oh,
we can talk about,
interrupt?
You know, where it came from or whatever. But I think the question I just want to emphasize is, for us as individuals, I think, and as a community, how do we live our lives now? And contribute to a positive future, which absolutely, I think, ultimately is inevitable. I mean, ultimately, it's inevitable, and to just move as best we can through this change that we see. I think it's important to understand the full picture as much as we can. So I'm going to stop here. Go ahead. Yeah, Andy, you had something?
You know, I'm so terrible. My mind blanks out with the one thing. I'm thinking about something else, though, too. There were a couple, well, there's 1,000 things that, you know, I have questions that, oh, I remember the one thing. So regarding these so-called chips, I don't know if these vaccines contain the chips already, but if I'm understanding correct, based on experiments they've done for many years, isn't it something where if they install a chip, they can then control people at any point? So partly I'm wondering for different options, because if suddenly everybody just started dying after the vaccines, people would catch on. It would be visible. So I'm assuming in some way their plan is to do it very gradual. And of course they'll blame everything on the COVID rather than the vaccine. But I'm assuming they know they cannot kill everybody right away. So it occurred to me, Jewish, and I always hope, and I try to center things, and if it's a Holocaust survivor, you know, I keep praying maybe I'll wake somebody up with some of this stuff if they're ever open.
Right, okay.
Okay.
Thanks so much. And I apologize, everyone.
I
think I lost my internet for a while, but I'm back. So.
Okay.
A little bit of a technical. I don't think it was a Zoom issue. I think it was more right here in the household, I believe, but I'm not totally sure. I am getting an echo for some reason. I mean, gosh.
Well, I think if you get off the phone, the echo will stop.
Yeah. I think I did it. Is that better?
Yes, much better.
Okay. Yeah, I got on the phone. Okay, so thank you, Andy, and you had a whole lot of different questions. Okay, so as far as that video, it's a very interesting video. It's an interview between this woman and a man who's, I think, one of the great heroes of our time. And I'm not sure if he's a vegan or not, though, but he's a great lawyer. His name is Rainer Fulnig. And he's interviewing her as part of an effort that he's making. He's joining up with, I guess, many lawyers in the United States and also in Europe to try to bring the leaders of government and the World Health Organization and the CDC and other, you know, bring them, you know, take them to court and for crimes against humanity. So he was interviewing her, and she speaks in English, and then he translates it into German. So you have to kind of fast forward if you don't want to listen to his translation into German.
What is her name? Do you know her name?
Yeah, I can. I've got it actually right here. It's very interesting. It's actually amazingly interesting to watch. She's really articulate. She talks like she's studied. She knows this stuff. Okay, her name. Yeah, it's not on YouTube. It would never be allowed to be there. But it's on BitChute.
Okay.
And her name is Vera, V-E-R-A.
Oh, Vera Sharav or something?
S-H-A-R-A-V, Vera Sharav, yeah. And it's March 19th was the video.
Okay, thank you. Because I saw her being interviewed on, I think it was Stand for Health Freedom.
Yeah. It could be.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you. It's good to know she's doing more.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was kind of illuminating. You know, it's not the first time I've heard that, but anyway, so anyone else have any I didn't respond to all your questions. I think, you know, Andy, you were really heavily involved and probably know more than I do about all this. It seems like I never thought they were going to tear up the streets and all these things. But who knows? I mean, whoever the they actually is, but I'm focusing mainly, of course, on heading them off at the pass if possible, trying to be, you know, support efforts either through Rainer Fulnig, you know, who's trying to get them all a class action lawsuit or something to stop this on legal grounds, or there's local. Like states, for example, like Kentucky just passed a law, which I thought was great, that no one can be forced vaccinated. If they don't want to be vaccinated, then, you know, so I think every state should pass those laws and then pass laws against vaccine passports, for example. So, you know, to work, to think globally and act locally, I think is really important. You know, my main thing has always been the vegan message. I just want to get the vegan message out. I don't want to think about anything else, but to my point of view, this is part of the vegan message. I mean, humans are also animals. If we're being completely destroyed and enslaved, that's something that I want to stop that. Plus, it'll destroy the vegan movement. I mean, who knows? I mean, we won't have any. I mean, already it's hard for us to really have our veg fest anymore and all those kinds of things. So, I think it's really important for the vegan movement, which unfortunately it's not happened, to make an effort to understand these things. And I think the main problem has been the vegan doctors. You know, vegan MDs are looked up to like they're gods in the vegan movement because they're great. You know, like Neil Bernard and Caldwell Esselstyn, all these guys. You know, they make the vegan diet something that everybody can say that's really healthy because they did the research and they know. So we don't want, but they don't know anything about vaccines and they don't know anything about all this stuff. And it's really disheartening to me to see them suppressing this and going the opposite direction. And so I think, you know, even myself, I did an interview. It was so funny. I did an interview for PCRM, like about a week ago, and I only talked about veganism. It was a great interview. It was done by a journalist who works for PCRM, and he has this regular thing he does like once a week, and he loved it, and I loved it. And it was all about just the vegan message. But at one point, I have to say, at one point he asked me, like, what are the secrets to health? And I said, well, the main thing we've been talking about, the main thing is that you move to a 100% vegan way of eating and living, and exercise is important, and also relationships, having harmonious relationships, and love, being a loving person and getting over fear. Right now we're in the middle of a pandemic of fear, and people are afraid of microbes and are afraid of each other and all this fear. It's not good for our health. We have to be contagious, not of fear, but contagious of health and love, and spread that. That's how we create harmony. And then I just went on and talked more about veganism, but I did say that, which, to me is like, but anyway, so they put up my video for like one day and then censored it. It's gone. And I've been trying to ask them, say, why did you take it down exactly? Because somebody from Russia got it and they put it up, so it's still up, but not many people see it because PCRM, the main PCRM website, if you click on the link, it says private. So they just made it private so no one can watch it. So, I mean, this is incredible how nervous they are. They won't even let somebody say that we shouldn't be afraid of microbes, right? I mean, oh gosh, everybody's screaming at me because I said that we shouldn't be afraid of microbes. They're going to censor me again. I'm being censored everywhere. It's like, it's just incredible. But the good news is I was just invited to speak at the Real Truth About Health Conference, and I was just invited to speak at the National Animal Rights Conference. So let's see if that holds on, but we'll see. The situation, it's just the censorship stuff is incredibly damaging, and I think we can't have any kind of intelligent society as long as people aren't allowed to share what they think. Book burning is called it bit burning, but it's happening on a massive scale now. Okay, so anyway, that's a little something I'm just sharing. But anyone else have any? Oh my gosh, it's already 6:20.
Hey, Will. This is a little. What's going to be happening this year?
I'm sorry. Let me see. Who's speaking now?
This is Chrissy in Nashville.
Hi, Chrissy. Yes.
Hey, this is a little off topic, but you mentioned a couple of conferences. I wondered if you have any idea if Vegan Summerfest is going to be happening this summer.
Okay, so Vegan Summerfest has been canceled because of COVID. There's a wonderful friend of ours named Joanne and Judy Carmen, maybe knows more. Judy, are you still here? Judy's here somewhere. Joanne Farb. And Joanne Farb and her daughters, Serena Farb, has grown up. I remember when Serena was just a little kid. Now she's got a degree from college. She has her own vegan blog and all that. They always went to Vegetarian Summerfest every year. And so they're trying to create a Vegetarian Summerfest. They are going to put one on in Kansas. So if you want to go to Kansas for like an alternative Vegetarian Summerfest, I think they're renting out or they've got access to either a place or else their land. They have a lot of land, and people can camp and tent, and they want to have they're going to do it, I think, in August or July or August, something like that. Maybe July. I guess it's July. I can put up a link to it or send you her email address if anyone's interested. She's trying to do an alternative. Judy, you want to say anything about that?
That's right. She is planning that, and I believe it's going to be on their land. And we live there too. We're just 50 miles away. And so we have accommodations here at our house too. So yeah, we'd love for people to come.
When is it going to be,
I don't know the date exactly. I think she's waiting to hear back from some people.
Oh, okay.
I think it's July.
She sent an email.
Yeah.
July,
but I think she's kind of focusing in on July. Yeah.
And Judy, do you want to say anything about your meeting last night? We had mentioned that you might.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I went to the county commission meeting, and it was some people went in person, but they had to wear masks. So I went through Zoom, and it started out. The health department was there, and the county commissioners, and they were, you could tell right off, you know, how this was going to go. But there were about, I'd say, 25 of us who spoke out against the issue. Sorry, I'd back up a little bit. The issue that we were talking to them about was stop the masks now. That's what we wanted. And they had wanted to extend it out, no particular date. And so we came up with all kinds of different research and all sorts of things. But they also had two medical doctors there speaking. And it was like yours, Will. It was just, you know, like we didn't say anything. They just went on with their
agenda,
their opinions. And there were so many people saying really important things, like, you are elected officials, like you did. You cannot control what I do with my body. That was one of them. There was a woman there who had a medical exemption, and her child did also, and her husband, and they have been kept out of certain stores because of, even though they have a medical exemption, a real one, it didn't matter to the stores. And so she was talking about the harm that was causing her child. And so there were some personal stories, and then I shared some research, and which completely negated what the doctors were saying, that, oh, yes, the cases are going up, we have to keep masking and all this stuff. So I'm sure it was very similar to yours and Madeline's experience. And so, but I think an interesting thing that I was doing while I was on this call, this Zoom call, was I was noticing that I was getting triggered, and my stress level was going up because they wouldn't listen to us. And so I really practiced calming myself down, sending them love, sending them appreciation, and they're other human beings, and, you know, we need to send them as much love as we can. So it was an interesting practice, and I thought, you know, that's a big part of what we all need to be doing, is growing spiritually ourselves. We don't know what's going to happen, but boy, we're going to need that, the most possible growth we can get.
Right.
And as well as finding community, like he said, and we can take actions like this, and it lets them know that we're out there, that not everybody wants these vaccinations and wants to wear masks. But so I think it's really important to go to these things and say these things. Mm-hmm. But the other part, I think, is probably the most important, is for us. This is our opportunity. Like you said, things are so bad that we have to grow. We really can't mess around. And everyone else on the planet has this same opportunity. And so it's really exciting. And to see some of these governors that are refusing to have vaccine passports in their states, that's been real exciting to me.
Right.
That I've actually thought maybe there's some good politicians out there.
Right.
So... But anyway, that was my experience.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks, Judy. Gosh, you know, I don't know where the time goes. It's already 6:30 here, 9:30 on the East Coast. I can hear maybe one more person.
Yeah. Hey, Will, it's Pamela in Washington. It's going to be super quick.
Okay.
But I just wanted to let everybody know about Pam Popper.
Yes.
She's doing some incredible work with organizing people in their own states, and she's at wellnessformhealth.com.
Great. Pam Popper, wellness, I'll write it in here. Or maybe you can write it in on the chat. Oh, you don't have a chat. Do you have access? I can write it
in. No, I'm on my phone.
You're on your phone. Okay, I'll write it in. But, yeah, Right, Pam Popper. She's a vegan too, basically.
She's a vegan, yeah. And she's really on board.
She's not an MD, but she's not in a cage. She can actually talk about this, and she does. Yeah, she's really good.
Well, she's banned all over the place.
Right.
If I go to her website, they throw fear factors. Like, you've been to this site. It's they're really on her.
Wow.
But anyway, she's still going, and she makes videos every day, and organizing in different states. So,
right, yeah, it's a lot. She's doing great work and really practical, like organizing politically and setting up groups in various states. To act locally, which I think is
right.
Excellent. Yeah, good to hear from you, Pamela. Thank you.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Right. Thanks. Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Gosh, you know. So anyway, it's been kind of a wide ranging discussion. We've focused a lot, obviously, on what's been happening here to us animals. There's a lot of good news. I was going to quickly just mention some of the good news. I mean, the new documentary film, Seaspiracy, is really great. I mean, I highly recommend, we really got to do something about fishing. And this is a wonderful documentary that must watch, I think, by everyone. I think I have a link to it here in the resources, and maybe we can start to create the narrative so we can really reduce the consumption of fish, because it's produced by Kip Anderson. It doesn't star him. It stars a guy named Allie, who actually came here to our house in Hidden Valley Lake and interviewed me for the film. Although I wasn't in there, he was, I think, toward the beginning of when he was just learning about things. And I gave him a lot of background information, but the movie finally came out. Kip Anderson. It's very similar to Cowspiracy and What the Health, and it's a very well done documentary that really shows not only how the industry is incredibly corrupt, but also how the nonprofit organizations that are supposedly to help protect the oceans are also bought up and corrupt by the same industry. So please have a chance to watch that. It's on Netflix. So we got Netflix just for that for a month, and then we'll cancel it. There's also some other stuff I just want to draw your attention to in the resources. We have lots of videos online you can watch of me speaking. I'm on a panel with Ocean Robbins and the exam, this one, PCRM one is up there. The video I did for the End Genocide Now campaign. Also, Madeline and I are Morning Musical Inspirations, and one of Madeline's Intuitive Kitchen we just did the other day, and some music. We were at World Peace Dive Facilitator Susan Pitcairn's house in Sedona and did some music with this wonderful vegan violinist. So you don't want to miss that. And anyway, there's a lot of the list of upcoming VegFests on Zoom, and there are going to be some VegFests live, hopefully. There's going to be a bunch in Florida that we're planning on, hopefully, anyway, attending and are speaking for, real live ones, maybe around in winter. There's also the Veganic Organic Network, which I think is really important. We're growing a lot more food. Madeline and I are planting in our garden. I just love it. We're planting tomorrow another persimmon tree. As you've probably heard, we say we have about 70 fruit and nut trees here. We have two persimmon trees, and they're really, I have to say, they're my favorite trees besides the walnut tree, well, and the fig tree. But these two persimmon trees, a fuyu and a hachia, now we've got another fuyu. I mean, they grow big. They give huge amounts of amazing, delicious fruit, and oh gosh, I'm so glad to be able to garden. I listened to a video with Vandana Shiva, and there's also a link to her documentary about her life, which I highly recommend. She talks about how growing food is maybe the most sacred act we can engage in as human beings, and I'm really agreeing with that more and more these days. So there's a lot of other things here, a lot of information. I mean, it's probably overwhelming how many different links and things. But I just love taking time to find these things and share them with you, and you can watch them during the month if you so choose. All right, so I think know.
Well, can I ask, everything that you just mentioned, did you say there's links to them somewhere?
On the resources, right. Yes, all.
Is that on your website or?
It's on the. It's not on my website, but it's on my website, but not that everybody can see. It's in the World Peace Diet. I send out an email. Okay, you can, if you go to the Facebook group, the facilitator, World Peace Diet Facilitator Facebook group, it always has a link. If you get my emails that I send to everybody who is in the circle or the facilitator or mastery training programs, the links are always there. Otherwise, send me an email and I'll send you. It's the same link. I mean, it's only one link.
Okay.
Every single recording that we've ever done, we've been doing this third Thursday for over 10 years. So there's hundreds of them. You can see me, you know, we did ones interview, you know, with John Robbins and lots of other people. So anyway, you can go back.
I'll check it out. Okay, thank you.
Every week we have a recording of this call. And every month we have a recording of this call, and every month we have the resources, which are the links to all the different articles and videos and so forth. And then now we're having, on the first Thursday, we have the recording. It's up there. It's all on the same page.
Okay. Thank you so much.
I can just say what it is. I'll just do that. I'll put it in the chat, and I'll say what it is because it's maybe good just to get it out there. Here it is. It's World... It's worldpeacemastery.com/circle/conference. That's it. .html. So it's kind of complicated, but anyway, I'll put it in here on the chat, and that's the link. And everything is there: the resources and all the recordings and everything. If you ever want to access anything, it's there. All right. So much love to everyone. Thank you all for your participation. By your presence, by your commitment, your caring hearts, and I know it was seems like it was kind of a whirlwind of a lot of information and maybe a little bit overwhelming, but it seemed like it was kind of pent up. But now we can go on, and I think it's good to, again, keep a positive attitude through all of this, like Judy was saying, and realize that we have a precious gift. As vegans, we can perhaps see through the ruse that's going on around us. We don't have to be victims of that, and we can maybe help other people to live their lives in a more loving and kind and aware way, and do the best we can ourselves also during these challenging times. So let's maybe close with our prayer, Circle of Compassion prayer. We can say it together. You can either mute or unmute. Either way is fine, however it goes. Compassion circles
for all people everywhere.
Good. Again.
Compassion circles for all beings everywhere.
One more time.
Compassion and circle for all beings everywhere.
Thanks, everyone. Sorry we went over time. But,
thank you, Will. Thank you so much.
See you on the first Thursday of May if you want to join us. Thank you. Much love.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye. Thank you. Thank you.